going to show you somebody up on the screen, and as soon as you see them, as soon as you recognize, you can shout out who is, you know what, who that is. So guys in the back, ready? Go. Who is that? Yeah, keep it on that one. That was an easy one, was it not? Listen, this is what the person, after Elvis Presley, he went to the Grand Ole Opry for the first time, sang there. After he was done, here's what they told him. They told him this: you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck. After that, they promptly fired him. Who's this? Do you know who that is? Yeah, that's Stephen King. That's Stephen King. Stephen King was rejected. His book, his first book was rejected 30 times. His wife retrieved it out of the trash, resubmitted it, and he has had a very, very successful career. Do you know who this is? Who's that? Yeah, Einstein. Who Einstein? That's Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, I don't know if you knew this. Listen, he didn't talk until he was 4 years old. And he didn't read until he was 7 years old. They thought that he was mentally handicapped. How many would like to have half a brain? Like Albert Einstein. Okay. You know what? I just want to take a side note because my heart's tender to this, and we need to really, really catch this. Because in our society has developed, is part of our society where the society picks, you know what, whose life is valuable and whose life is not valuable, who are the good lookings and who are not, and let me just tell you what. We need to be really, really, really careful to recognize that God has made us all and everyone has just phenomenal value. And if you start to do that, I'm telling you what, you're going to not see the brilliance in the Albert Einsteins that are all around us. Somebody say amen to that? I'll get to it later. I said in the first service, you know, when I've got a heart, I always, you know what, when I was high school, you know what, I was athletic and I fell into kind of the cool crowd. But you know what, ever since I was little, I just always liked the dorky people, you know what I mean? It's like I seem to relate to them a lot better. So anyway, I'll get to that in a little bit. Do you know who this is? Who's this? It's Walt Disney. A former editor of the newspaper said this about Disney. Disney lacks imagination and had no good ideas. Can you imagine? Yeah, right. You know who this is? Who's this? It's Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, listen, his teachers said this of him. They told him that he was stupid and couldn't learn anything. He had over 1,000 patents that he had, and of course he invented the light bulb, the lamp, the light, and he also invented the phonograph, among a lot of other things that you don't even know. Who's this? You know who that is? Yeah, Steve Jobs. I don't know if you knew this, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs at the high point way back in the day, Apple had about 10% of the PC market, which means predominantly IBM had 90%. So that's way behind. And through his leadership, he went down from 10% to 2%, of which then he was fired. He begged for his job back. They would not give him his job back. Of course, later on, he came back to the company. And by that time, the company was just not doing well at all, came up with a little invention that could take all your silly cassette decks, remember this, all your cassette tapes, put it all on one thing. How many have been blessed with the iPod, iPad, you know what? Yeah, is right. What a blessing. Okay, who's this? You know who that is? No, that's Steve Spielberg. Spielberg, I don't know that, you know, there's a film school in SC. It's one of the most accredited, most acclaimed film schools. He was rejected from that film school not once but twice. Can you imagine? They told Steven Spielberg, oh, you're not good enough for our film school. It's kind of ironic because now they have a whole building at USC and it is named after him, I find the irony kind of humorous. You know who this is? Who's this? You know who that is? Yeah, look a clue. Look at that the book. Yeah, that's Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss, imagine this. Dr. Seuss rejected by 27 publishers, you know what, who rejected his children's book and said, no, it's not good. We're not going to publish it. You know what I mean? Do you know who this is? Who's this? Yeah, it goes over Oprah Winfrey. She was working in Baltimore, WJZ-TV, and here's what they said. Here's why they fired her. They fired her because she was too emotionally involved with the stories that she responded to. Can you imagine right now being the one who fired Oprah Winfrey? You know? Hello? Okay. Do you know who this is? Who's this? Okay. That's Sir James Dyson. Like Dyson, the vacuum guy. Okay. Listen to this. 5,126 prototypes that failed. Over 5,000 prototypes he made, and they didn't pick up the junk on the floor. He made the first bagless vacuum cleaner. Okay. And then who else? Okay. You know who that is? Man, nice hat, huh? That's Churchill. Churchill lost his first bid for the parliament. And last but not least, you know who this is? Yeah, that's Michael Jordan. And my, yeah, talk about, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Okay. Can you imagine being that coach? Amen. But listen to this quote, because I think this is so, so helpful. Listen to what Michael Jordan says. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career, lost almost 300 games. 26 times I was given the ball to take the last shot and missed that shot. He says, I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I have become successful. I want to talk to you today about down, down, but not out. Because here's what I know. I know in our hearts there's things that God has placed in your heart, dreams that you've had, and situations that are going on, and you feel down. You feel like you've been knocked down. Some of you have been knocked down because of things that are outside your control. Some of you have just made bad choices in your own life. But whether it's things that you can control or things that you couldn't control, you feel like you're down on the canvas. And here's what's significant. Here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you you're down, but listen, but you're not out. And I want to give you some practical things that are going to help you to come back from where you're at now. And I believe that there's not anyone in this room that can't hear this message and that it won't be a blessing to. So you ready to learn some ways that will help you to get up off the canvas where you're at now? I just want to go over a couple of them. Number one, if we're going to fulfill the dreams that God has called us to fulfill, you have to recognize where you are. Somebody say down, but not out. But what you have to recognize where you are. And let me tell you, that takes integrity, that takes fortitude, that takes courage. You know, there's a lot of people, and they're never going to get up on the canvas because they're never going to recognize that they're on the canvas. They're like, no, it's okay, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. And it takes a lot of integrity to recognize, wait a minute, I've got some areas, some things in my life that I've got to work on. Maybe I'll preach over here for a minute. Areas in my life I need to work on. I remember there was a great story in this one pastor. He had selected this person to be on to be one of the elders at the church. But he had always made sure that before he did that, he would bring that person in his office and go over some areas of places where they needed to work on in their character. And the pastor told this man three areas that he needed to work on. And the man, even though he was thought he was kind of a mature believer, he walked out of the office and he was really kind of annoyed with the pastor because he thought, you know what, well, these, I think the pastor's being touching. I really don't have an issue with these three areas. But he did something very smart. He thought, well, I think the pastor's wrong, but before I decree that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask my wife and two of my close friends. So he asked his wife, he asked two of his close friends, and here's the beautiful thing. When he asked his wife and the two friends, guess what three things they said? And he asked them, what three areas would you say I need to improve in? Guess what they came up? They all came up with the exact same thing, the list what the pastor came up with. Amen. Now, and here's what that guy recognized. He recognized that he couldn't see these areas in our life. See, sometimes, sometimes we have blind spots. And the reason why they're so hard to deal with, here, this is deep, are you ready? Is because they're blind to you. You can't see them. That's why they're blind spots. And oftentimes in our life, when somebody, many times our spouse, will point out our blind spots, we're like, right? We're like, no, you just. And what I'm saying to you is you really can't go from that place of where you're at until you locate where you're at. It's not a bad thing. And I'm not talking about staying there, but it's very important to recognize. I remember, and many of you, I've told this story. Some of you didn't know. You know what? I know many of you wouldn't even diagnose this in me. But when I went to Bible college, we took a placement exam for English. I know this will shock many of you, but when we took that placement exam, you know what? I didn't pass the placement exam. In other words, I know I told you it was hard to believe, but I didn't pass the placement exam. So that meant I couldn't take English composition. I had to take this remedial English class. But can I tell you what? It was one of the best experiences in my life. Dr. Best, who was my professor, only taught that at Life Bible College for one semester. And guess what semester it was? It was a semester that I had a remedial English class. And I love Dr. Best because Dr. Best, even though she had 12 students that were in her class, she acted like we were all brilliant. You know what I mean? And I really needed that. But here's what happened. She taught and she taught and she taught. And it was a great thing that I was in that class. Because how in the world are you supposed to get from here to here if you won't even recognize that you're here? It's very, very, very critical and very important. And sometimes it takes a lot of integrity for you to recognize where you're at. But I'm telling you, you can't get up until you recognize where you're at. You have to place and see, well, this is where I'm at, so this is where I need to go. And it's tough to do, but you have to. If you're going to get up off the campus, you've got to recognize. Please understand this, that when the Patriots were down 28-3, the Patriots knew what the score was. Hello. They were very aware what the score was. And listen, and it's helpful for you to be honest with yourself and say, you know what, hey, you know what it is? It's humility. It's you being humble. And the Bible says that God, you know what, that God blesses the humble. It's very important that we not just go, no. And let me, this is a deep question. I'm just asking. How many of you feel like in your life you're just in a place, you're just in such a good place that there's just no areas that can get better.
Anyone.
See, that's a good place to do for you to recognize, man, I can improve in this. I can get better in this. You know what? It's interesting because all of us need areas that we need to get better. But we have to first recognize where we're at. We have to be humble. Because you know what? God blesses the humble. Yeah. You know what? He resists the proud. I don't need it. I'm fine. You know what? No wife, stop talking to me. I'm fine. No husband, don't talk to me. I'm fine. And listen to me, husbands and wife. Don't have a critical spirit against your husband, against your wife. But receive anyone. Thank you. Don't have a critical spirit about anybody, but be willing to allow your husband and your wife, you know, your pastor, whatever, to speak into you. I remember one time I was preaching over in the North Sanctuary, and months later, I was talking to this lady, and she came up to me after. She said, you know what, Pastor, sometimes when you preach, I get so mad at you, I can't even talk. I got to leave right away. I'm like, I'm thinking, lovable me, what are you talking about? You know what? But she was honest. She said, you know what? Sometimes because you'll say stuff and it's hitting me. Well, receive it. Because it's not a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing that I took that class. And it's not a bad thing for us to recognize. It's critical for you getting up on the canvas. It's critical for you to know what the score is. Number one. Number two, you have to believe that coming back is possible. You have to be willing to believe that it is possible. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Look what this is. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Look what it says. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And the servant was healed that very hour. This is someone, his servant is sick to the point of death. Jesus is going to come on over. You know, Jesus, the guy says, you don't even have to come over to my house. Just speak a word. Jesus says to him, here's what he says. As you have believed, so be it unto you. You know how many times in the gospel that somebody got healed, and instead of Jesus saying, you know, let me tell you why you got healed. You got healed because of my faith. You know how many times Jesus says, no, it wasn't, here's why it was. It was because of your faith. Can I tell you what? There's something very, very important for you believing that it's not too late. See, here's what happens. When you say, it's too late, my marriage is over, it's too late, I'm too far in debt, it's too late, I'm too old, you know what, I can't start a business, I'm too old, whatever it is, it's too late, I'm just, you know what, you know, there's no, whatever it is, as soon as you say that, can I tell you what, you're not going to get off on the count, up from the canvas. You're down and you're going to stay down. But you're not going to stay down because you can't get up. You're going to stay down because you're so busy looking at the circumstances. God says to you this morning, you're down, but you're not out. Here's what God says. You know the scripture? The Bible says, with God, what? All things are possible. But you know what Jesus also said? He said this, all things are possible to those who believe. You know what? In my life, you know what? We live in a beautiful home. Our home is on a half acre. You know what? It's a wonderful home. We're so blessed. You know what I mean? And if you came over to home, and I'm not saying people don't have nicer homes than I do, because I know there are a lot of people who have way nicer homes than I do. But all I'm saying is, you know what? We have a nice home. Do you know how I have a barn at my home? A real barn. Thank you, Jesus. But here's what I want to say. If you said, you know what, many people will look at that and say, you know what, you're so lucky, you know what I mean? But listen what they say. That will never happen to me. Can I tell you, when I was in my 20s, I started listening to someone who had the integrity to preach the word of God, just like things like, with God all things are possible. Tell me stories and teach me stories of the blind man who, when was asked, what do you want? He said, I don't tell you what, I want my sight. That's what I want. And he taught me and taught me and taught me, and it started going into my head and into my spirit, into my life, to where the place where I just believed that God would bless me. I didn't care what it looked like. You know how many years I would come out of my little office into the North Sanctuary to preach to less than 50 people? You know how many years after church was over? You know what? I would tell my wife, we only had one service. I would run home to try to get a nap because I had to work at Albertsons from 4 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning. Do you know how many, no, not months, I didn't say months. Do you know how many years that happened? And what did you say? I said, man, I tell you what, there's going to be a day that you're going to come to church and it's going to be packed. I said that over and over and over. And what happened the next week? We weren't packed. You know what I mean? I mean, if you could throw a rock in the sanctuary. Why? Because you ain't going to hit nobody. You know what? There's a good chance you ain't hitting nobody. You know what I mean? Just throw a rock. Here's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is, you know what? If you're like, well, you know, listen, don't say that'll never happen to me. Because let me tell you what, God's not a respecter of persons. You know why I'm in the home that I'm in? Because you know what? I made an investment. I didn't have a lot of money. Many of you heard this story. Didn't have a lot of money. You know what? But you know what? We're waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me what to invest in, what to invest in, what to invest in. The stock markets keep us on going up, and he keeps on saying, no, not now, no, not now, no, not now. We had a friend come on over. He had two friends. I felt led by the Holy Spirit to ask him, hey, you know what? Do you know anything about stocks? He wrote a ticker symbol down, put it across the desk we were at, said, buy as much stuff of that as you can. What'd you do? I heard the Holy Spirit said, that's it. That's what I've been waiting for. Went with my wife. I said, what do you hear? Heard the exact same thing. We bought as much stuff as we could of that stock. We didn't have a lot of money, but we put it all in one stock. Pastor, you're not supposed to do that. I know, whatever. Anyway, I'm not giving you financial advice. I'm just telling you what my story is. That's what we did. And what happened to the stock? The stock went up? No, the stock went down. So what'd you do? I bought more. Amen. And then it went up, 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 and then it went up. I bought it almost at its low, and I sold it almost at its high. Pastor, that'll never happen to me. My second point. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. Stop thinking that. Get rid of the thought that says, you know what, it'll never happen to me. Stop thinking that. You know what, I love, we were in prayer this morning, and we had, you know what, a bunch of people praying with us, and Pastor Paul, led by the Spirit, said, I want everybody to pray, just pray one thing, and we're going to come here. I love what this one lady said. She stood up, and she said, you know what, we are marked. That was it. So good. We are marked with victory. Yes. See, listen. I acted, you know what, if you would have saw, and I'm not talking about arrogance, but because if you would have saw me when I was driving around in my car Magia, you know what I mean? You would have seen somebody who, you know what, got out like he was driving a Mercedes-Benz or something. It's like, what? You know what I mean? Well, here's why, because we are marked with victory. Listen, can I tell somebody this? Can I tell you this if you're hearing today? You're not called to be a failure. You're not called to mediocrity. You're called to influence people and to do great things on this earth. Every single one of you are called to that. That's what you're called to do. And if you're down, I understand you're down. All I'm saying is you've got to believe, you know what, that you're going up. Amen. Because until you believe that, you just give up. No, don't give up. You know what? Don't grow weary in doing good. And I remember, you know what? I remember the Holy Spirit's just saying to me, you know what, Drew? You're preaching the Word of God. I'm going to build that. That's going to be a fundamental thing. And people are going to come. Here's why. Because you will preach the uncompromised Word of God. And that's what's going to build your church. So don't sweat it. Just keep on looking and see what I see. Which brings me to my third point, and it's this. Listen to me. You've got to see it. At one point in time, Abraham's like, God, Abram is like, God, what? Listen, how in the world? I'm not going to be a father of many nations. I don't even have one descendant. And here's what God tells Abram. It's in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Here's what he tells him. He says, come outside. And he brings him outside and he says, lift up your head and start to look at the stars. Can I tell you what I told the first service? Here, listen. Read a book. No, really, read a book. You know what I mean? Find someone. You're so, but you know, Pastor, I'm just a single mom and I'm raising these three kids. Listen, get a book. Amen. Find someone, a single mom, who's spirit-filled and understands the power of God, and they take it and they just believe the dreams of God and they're doing great things now. Yes. But Pastor, I'm over 50. Then Google men who've been, up off the canvas after 50. You know what? But Pastor, I'm under 5 foot tall. People under 5 foot tall who's done incredible things. Get it, read it, get a book, understand, get a vision of what God has called you to do. Amen. Can I tell you what? This true story. When I was in high school, when I was in junior high, I had a bunch of friends. And a bunch of friends hung out together. We all hung out together. You know what? But when I went to high school, all my friends started smoking dope and not going cutting school. It's a true story. What'd you do? I'll say, you know what? I ain't hanging out with you. Amen. Get around people. I'm not around. Then just get a good book. Get some CDs. Get some tapes. Get some stuff. Start putting, the God in you. People who've got big vision, start listening to them. Because let me tell you what, because you're not called to mediocrity. You are called to greatness. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Love you. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say you're not. Because God hasn't called you to fail. God has called you around, the people you're around, God wants you to be a blessing to them. Number three, I already said it, but number four, you need to do this. You need to get some help. And here's the good news. People will help you, amen? Again, get a good book. You know what? Here's a deep thought. Come to church. I'm just asking, how many have come to church, and you're like, but by the time you leave, you're like, dun-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum. I love that song. Anyway. Amen. At this point, we didn't do it, but at this point, I almost played, I was going to have Striper playing, to hell with the devil, Let me tell you what, that song's a great song, but that song is a great song in this sanctuary because these speakers crank, amen? Yeah. Pastor George, I was cranking, it was so awesome, amen? But here's all I'm saying, guys. We've got to get out of that mentality, and you've got to recognize people will help you. Chandler and I will help you. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is the helper. Amen. And you run off to work day after day after day after day. And if you just get up just 15 minutes early, I know you're busy, so am I. Just get up 15 minutes early, and before you run out, get rid of the iPad, the iPod, the all the stuff, and spend 15 minutes and just say, God, I need some help. I need some help being a pastor. I need some help being a husband. I need some help being a father. I need some help, whatever your deal is. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Because he loves when you ask for his help. That's right. And finally, and I'll close with this. Number five, eliminate plan B. Yeah, eliminate plan B. I'll tell you what I was saying. Listen, married couples, I love you, but I just got to tell you, get rid of, I like saying this, whatever number you're on, stay there. See, I don't listen. I don't have, because I know stuff happens, and I don't know what's happening in your life. And many times, divorce happens, and it has nothing to do with you, or maybe it had to do with you. You just didn't know what you know. But here's what I'm saying: whatever number you're on, stay there. Amen. Amen. Amen? And get the plan B out. See, you know, can I tell you why Satan is able to throw that in your face? You know what? That the grass is greener on the other side. You know what? And somebody says, wow, you know what? Somebody, wow, that's a nice tie you got on. And you're like, you're not like, oh, yeah, my wife picked it out for me. You're not like that. You're like, yeah, it is. You better watch it, Bucky. Because let me tell you what, you are being set up. Let me tell you where the green grass is. The green grass is in your house. That's where the green grass is. Amen. And listen, but you got to get rid of that plan B. You know, some of you are, I'll tell you what, I'm all, you know what, I'll forgive people. You know what, I forgive people. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, I forgive people. As soon as they ask for apology, I'm going to forgive them. Listen, you've baked that in the pie already. Amen. You're not committed to forgiving. Your forgiving is conditional. You got a plan B. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying. Here, you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, it's in James. Go ahead, go there. No, it's in Luke. Go ahead, go there. Look what Luke says. Chapter 9. I'm on the last point. Jesus said to them, no one. Can I tell you what no one means? No one means, you know what that means? That means you are not the exception. That's what no one means. Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Can I tell you what? God wants you, whatever he's asking you to do, he just wants you all in. And you're thinking, yeah, but if this don't work, blah, blah, blah. Listen, Cameron and I didn't have a plan B with hope. Because we knew, you know what, that God's plans are good plans. And we knew, yeah, maybe, can I tell you this? And just because we didn't have as many people as we have here today, it didn't mean we didn't have good services. Some of you were here 10 years ago. You know what? It didn't mean we still didn't minister to you in a real vibrant way. See, can I tell you what? I don't know what you're going through, but here's what I want to say. You're down, but stop counting yourself out. Stop thinking you can't. Stop thinking you're so whatever that you'll never. All right. Did you learn something today?